In 1987, Congress passed the Nuclear Waste Policy Act amendments that made Yucca Mountain, Nevada, the only disposal site to be considered for the nation's first geologic repository for spent nuclear fuel and high-level nuclear waste. Since that time, the state of Nevada has employed independent scientific and legal experts. These experts and others conclude that the Yucca Mountain project is dangerously unsafe. It was created for political, not technical reasons. In 2008, the agency responsible for the project, the Department of Energy, submitted a license application to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The Department of Energy filed a motion with the NRC to withdraw the license application and end the project in 2010. But DOE's motion was denied by the NRC. Later, in 2011, the NRC suspended licensing for lack of sufficient funds. In 2013, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit ordered a resumption of licensing. Congress has not appropriated money for the project since 2011. Since that time, the U.S. has been locked in a stalemate.
Hello, my name is Jace Ochida, and joining me today is Lake Barrett. Lake is a former official of the Department of Energy who has spent nearly 60 years working in nuclear energy and nuclear materials management areas. Lake currently serves as special advisor to Japan for the recovery of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear accident and, in the early 1980s, worked on the cleanup of the Three Mile Island reactor accident. He was the longest-serving non-political leader of the DOE Civilian Radioactive Waste Management Office, and he retired from the DOE in 2002 with the completion of the Yucca Mountain Scientific Analysis and presidential and congressional designations following the Nuclear Waste Policy Act of 1982. Lake has testified before Congress numerous times, served on the Nuclear Waste Technical Review Board and DOE Secretary's Nuclear Energy Advisory Board, as well as being an American Nuclear Society Fellow. Lake is the co-author of The Path Forward for Nuclear Waste in the U.S., a bipartisan solution to the nuclear waste problem, which we will be discussing today. Could you start by giving us an overview of the current challenges in U.S. nuclear waste management?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Nuclear waste has had a fairly long history over the past 40-some years here in the United States of America. We started with nuclear energy back in the early 70s, and as expected, it grew. All during the 1970s, we debated what to do with the spent fuel, which was accumulating at all our reactor sites with no place to go. Then, as now, both here in the U.S. and internationally, everyone agreed the final solution had to be some form of geologic disposal, but there was no simple way to get there. So a Nuclear Waste Policy Act was passed back in 1982, which established a 100-page process on how to dispose of spent nuclear fuel fairly in a deep geologic repository in the United States. And that repository was to take either the spent fuel directly from the reactors for disposal, or if the fuel was going to be recycled or reprocessed, the high-level waste from that reprocessing process would then be put in the repository as well. That assumes that recycling would become economic sometime in the future, possibly. We at the Department of Energy, having to follow the law, scientifically looked at multiple sites across the country. Abruptly, Congress modified the law in 1987, and they directed DOE to only look at one site, and that was the Yucca Mountain site in Nevada. That action basically set up a states' rights conflict, where the state of Nevada said it wasn't fair. And in a way, it wasn't fair, because they were the only ones selected to be technically evaluated, as there were other sites as well. Following the amended law, we at DOE technically evaluated the site and found it technically suitable in 2002. And per the law, the Nevada governor disapproved the site in 2002 as well. Again, allowed by the law, the Nevada disapproval was overridden by the United States Congress, and the Yucca Mountain site was designated by law as the nation's first repository. But that process has not gone anywhere because in 2010, the state of Nevada was able to block it through social political means. We are the United States of America, where states have considerable power and the ability to stop things if they don't believe it's fair, which they did and still do. So Yucca Mountain has been blocked now for over 14 years and will likely remain that way for the foreseeable political future unless changes are made. Yet our nuclear spent fuel stockpile continues to grow across the United States. And now our society needs even more electrical energy than ever before. There is a strong nationwide movement towards substantial growth in nuclear energy, as we need more clean, reliable power for our modern society. Yet with this growth, there will be even more used nuclear fuel generated that will need to be responsibly and ethically managed far into the future. And that includes developing a passive geologic disposal site somewhere for its final resting place. Therefore, we need to address this problem of where can we dispose of this faster-growing inventory of our spent nuclear fuels, both technically, but also importantly, from a social-political perspective in some host state somewhere. We should not just continue generating fuels without having a permanent disposal solution for these wastes. Just leaving these spent fuels indefinitely at reactor sites on our rivers, seashores, and oceans without a future solution is currently illegal, and it's also morally unethical for future generations. We as a society in America have had our heads in the sand for the past 40 years, as we really have not done our job per the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. There are new technologies being developed for new types of reactors, but no matter what the technology is, there is still going to be some high-level radioactive waste that needs safe, permanent disposal, no matter the design or its fuel cycle. New technologies may vary the physical waste somewhat. There may be a little more or there may be a little less, but there will always be a significant amount of radioactive waste that needs to be geologically isolated to protect future generations for many millennia. We need to fix our broken system because it is not delivered. So we gathered a group of colleagues who have worked in this field for decades to see what we could do to help the United States move forward with this problem. And we came up with a report that you mentioned to recommend a path forward that could solve our problem, because what we've had has not worked at all. It has not worked, basically, to the social political issues. Yes, we did a lot of technological work for the nuclear waste disposal, but the hardest nut to crack is a social political one about states' rights and states' involvement. So our approach forward is that this needs to be an agreement between the host state and the community and the federal establishment to establish a nuclear waste disposal site that is acceptable to all. It needs to be durable, sustainable, and go forward in a mutually beneficial way. We believe such a thing can be created. We haven't yet, but we think we can. And if such an agreement can be achieved, it needs to be lasting, durable, and sustainable for many decades. A key is that all parties involved have to have a functional, trusted partnership that benefits all groups. One of the largest problems that DOE has had is that it is part of the federal government. It is subjected to significant constraints of our 2-year congressional voting cycle, our 4-year presidential voting cycle, and our 6-year senatorial voting cycle. So we have to have a partnership, which is this federal establishment along with the host state, and it has to be a relationship that both sides can trust for decades into the future. Our group felt that taking the responsibility of running a national nuclear waste management system out of DOE, which is a very complex federal government agency, and put it into a new public benefit corporate structure is the best approach. We call this a new corp or a new corporation, which would be controlled by the nuclear reactor owners who know how to handle nuclear waste and have the ability to implement such a national disposal task safely and in a socially responsible manner. We concluded this would be the best way to go forward. Nuclear utilities have had good partnerships with host communities and with host states in almost all the states in the United States of America. We should give them a shot at doing it because we think that is a much better way to be successful than what we have. So that's our proposal. We need to improve if we're going to be able to support the growth of nuclear energy that this country needs to move forward. We now need to enter a new phase of relationships and partnerships between the federal government, the host states, host communities, and private industry partners to meet our spent fuel disposal challenges for our future.
How does the Path Forward report build on previous efforts like the Blue Ribbon Commission to propose a new direction?
Well, the Blue Ribbon Commission was 12 years ago, and that group, which had a long political history, gave its recommendations, of which one is very similar to what we are recommending now. They also recommended that this program would be more successful if it was removed from the Department of Energy because of the long, difficult history the Department of Energy has had with many different groups. Our group felt that basically the same thing and built on with more specificity and experience since that report. So there's a lot of similarities going forward between what we recommend and what the Blue Ribbon Commission recommended. There have been many other reports since the Blue Ribbon Commission, such as the RAND Corporation report, that have recommended similar approaches to what we are now recommending. We are all basically trying to create a successful, long-term, sustainable relationship between the National Waste Disposal Organization and the host states and others, and to minimize and isolate as much as possible the delicate scientific, business, and social aspects of a waste disposal program that is a partnership program from the disruptive 2-, 4-, and 6-year federal election cycle, where every single senatorial seat and every single electoral vote is fought over tooth and nail. Nuclear waste is a negative issue in many of the voters' minds. And negative issues are issues that are good for political challengers. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans. It's hard for incumbents who have the responsibility to make decisions and to keep those decisions to survive political attacks from outside challengers. So we want to try to remove this negative influence that we have to deal with, because we are a democracy, as much as possible in the future. So we wanted the nuclear waste program that would be durable, keeps the necessary supporting economic relationships, and also be technically competent so the country can move forward with our energy needs.
Thank you. And how does the report envision the role of the advisory committee and NuCorp, particularly in incorporating input from states, local communities, tribes, and experts to ensure broader stakeholder involvement?
Well, one of the key things that we learned over the many decades of this is you need to have a broad coalition of willing partners to move forward successfully. So it needs to be broad-based with checks and balances, and of course it needs to be technically adequate as well. It needs to be broad enough to include different segments of society as we go forward together. So one of the things we did was to recommend a strong independent advisory committee that is open and transparent and advises the board of directors, the Congress, and the public at large. The board of directors is mostly made up from the nuclear reactor operators. So there is some concern that there is a need to be assurances that various points of view and perspectives would always be available. So our report discusses various ways that could be achieved via legislation or other means. We also wanted to be sure that diverse advisory committee reports would be open and transparent and allow Congress, the public, and everyone to be able to review the progress, the status, and the future plans. For example, we discussed the host state having persons designated by their governor or legislature on the NuCorp board of directors and the advisory committee. These appointments could be from local communities, universities, public safety officers, to be inclusive as the host may desire. This is very similar to what some European corporations often have with the union members on their boards and advisory committees. We also felt it would be important to have an independent advisory committee to give assurance to the Congress and the citizens that someone is watching over the whole situation to confirm that the board of directors and the management of the NuCorp are doing their jobs properly.
Okay. And the idea of developing a mission plan within 1 year is a central recommendation. What key elements do you believe this plan should include to effectively guide the path to permanent disposal and interim storage?
The main element is having a trusted, durable partnership and being open and transparent as possible. We need a dedicated, technically and socially competent implementing organization to be successful and safely dispose of our nuclear waste. This clearly requires a focus on meeting performance objectives in a timely, cost-effective manner while keeping the partnerships active and productive. An emission plan is a document that we recommend as being a publicly available document to demonstrate responsible progress. Sadly, DOE, for the past 14 years, has claimed in various ways they were making progress, but they were really stuck in neutral, doing nearly nothing toward disposal. There was no written plan, no objectives, no milestone goals, no resource allocations where progress toward waste disposal could be measured. There was no accountability or plan of much for anything meaningful. These were good people, but they were tied up in a political maze that did not allow any metrics at all. So we recommended publishing a mission plan to document progress and state what the plans are so there could be metrics to measure against. You need to state where you are in the process in obtaining a workable geologic disposal site and initially developing the necessary hosting relationships that would enable geologic disposal to be successful. Where are you in the technical work at the site? What are the schedule goals? What are your costs going to be? Are there going to be sufficient financial resources in the nuclear waste fund? Or do actions need to be taken to adjust the waste generators' nuclear waste fees? These are important questions that the mission plan would address. These and many others are the issues that need to have clear performance plan to demonstrate accountability that progress is real. These issues have to be addressed with integrated solutions that are open and transparent to all. They need to be written down in public periodic reports, like the mission plan, what was required in the old 1982 Act, and be done exactly for this purpose. So we kept this requirement from the past, but we strongly recommend that it not be forgotten like it has been for the past 14 years. A key aspect for the mission plan would be for the Congress to use that as it performs its oversight function to ensure that safe, effective progress is taking place in this country. So these are the many parts we wanted to see written down in the periodic mission plan reports, so that everybody can look at it, Congress can hold hearings on, and people can be held accountable for what they are doing with the ratepayers and the taxpayers' money and the progress that they are making with it.
Thank you. And funding has been a persistent issue in nuclear waste policy. How does the report propose to improve access to the nuclear waste fund? And what barriers do you anticipate in making those changes a reality?
Well, funding has been a very difficult policy problem for the federal government across the board. A basic principle in the 1982 Act was that the entity that generates the waste, and this is spent fuel in this case, is the entity that should pay for its safe eventual disposal. Since there is considerable lag time from when the electricity, the benefit of nuclear energy, is produced, and the geologic disposal, which takes place decades later, it was stated in the 1982 Act that the reactor operators would pay a fee into a specially federally managed nuclear waste fund when the electricity was used and the spent fuel waste were created. So electricity customers, either directly or indirectly in their electricity bills, have been paying this special fee into the U.S. Treasury's nuclear waste fund since 1983. To be sure that this prepayment of services would be used for its intended purpose of spent fuel disposal, contracts were established where the DOE promised to start to remove spent fuel from reactors back in 1998 in return for the fees being paid to the federal government. These funds were collected from the utilities until 2014, and the value of that nuclear waste fund has grown through fees paid and interest accumulated to over $50 billion now. And that should be readily available to implement the disposal program. But sadly, that has not happened because major changes happened in the federal budgeting laws since 1983. What happened was the actual money that was collected by the federal government during all the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s had been used for other federal expenditures, ranging from child care to national defense. The real cash was spent, and only federal IOUs exist in the accounting ledgers at Treasury Department. So now those IOUs must be turned into real money to be used by either DOE or by whomever the implementing organization is to do the necessary waste disposal function. Turning these federal IOUs into actual money to perform their intended purpose of waste disposal is administratively complicated for the federal government, because the budget laws have been passed since the 1980s to limit federal spending and to reduce the federal deficit. Whenever a federal agency needs to increase spending under these new budget laws over the past 40 years, additional revenue needs to be created or other spending somewhere else needs to be reduced. And this is a very difficult political problem for the Congress and all federal agencies. But Congress has to figure out how to make this money that has already been paid to be available to implementing organization that is used clearly for its intended purpose. In our report, we provide some examples on how this can be fixed, as other special dedicated fund programs have faced similar situations. An example of how Congress changed the law to allow the national parks maintenance fees to be used for necessary national park maintenance is an example. So these are difficult for Congress to do, but they need to figure out how to fix this one as well. Another important financial matter that we address in our report are the costs of the failure of DOE to meet its contractual obligations to utilities to remove spent fuel. This has resulted in the American taxpayers having to pay billions of dollars now to utilities to pay for the extra storage cost that has been going on at reactor sites across the country for the past 25 years. These extra costs continue to grow as little progress has been made in DOE performing its spent fuel removal disposal duties. So far, over $11 billion had been paid in contract damage claims by American taxpayers to the utilities for the storage. And depending upon DOE's future performance, these liabilities are projected to exceed well over $50 billion. So there is a definite financial need to move forward and deliver a spent fuel disposal solution for this country.
With the U.S. pursuing new nuclear technologies and exports, how does the path forward address the integration of future waste streams into the overall management strategy?
We acknowledge there have been changes in nuclear technologies over the past decades. There are different fuel forms and different reactors with various pros and cons, but there always needs to be a final geologic disposal program in all cases. There have been many scientific analyses and reports for many decades that have examined all the plausible technologies, and all have concluded that there will be residual radioactive waste that will need geologic disposal site somewhere. Waste streams may vary in type and volume, but there are always waste needing isolation to protect future generations, no matter what the technologies are or may develop. So in all cases, our nation needs a path forward for a geologic disposal program. We should not just put it into temporary storage and pretend we have solved the problem and just give it to our great-grandchildren to deal with.
Thank you. And consent-based siting has been highlighted in various reports. Can you discuss how this approach could overcome political and social obstacles that have stalled projects like Yucca Mountain?
The fundamentals are that you have to have a consent-based approach or a collaborative approach, as this administration calls it. These are fundamentally the same thing. It is working together at the host state and national federal level to find a mutually beneficial approach for waste disposal solutions that are desirable to all parties. This was basically the intent of the original Nuclear Waste Policy Act back in 1982, where they called it a consultation and cooperation agreement with the host states. That goal sadly broke down when the 87 Amendment designated only the evaluation of Yucca Mountain site in Nevada. Now we have to pick up the pieces, learn from experience, and move on towards something that works. And that clearly is developing a workable partnership agreement with the host state for a geologic repository somewhere. To achieve this, I think any potential host state is going to require a national partner that is reliable and able to keep its promises for decades into the future. And that includes multiple Congresses and many presidential administrations. Sadly, we see now one president give an executive order, and the next one on his or her first day, or vice versa, changes it back again. The Congress has made fund agreement one year and then change it another year. This is not something that gives reliability and confidence to a potential host state, and it makes program success very difficult to sustain. Our group believes it is critical for enabling national success to create a partnership construct where host states, host communities, private industry partners are going to need to have a reliable partnership hosting agreement with a national implementer that is more reliable than what DOE can do. There are many good people at DOE with good intentions, but the real constraints imposed upon them by the 2, 4, and 6 year election cycles make this success a bridge too far for them to achieve alone. So this is why we strongly recommend the U.S. shift from the existing DOE implementation to a new corp implementation construct to more successfully achieve harmonious partnership agreements. Such agreements could be more creative, more productive, durable, and sustainable over the extended time periods that will be required. Such agreements are going to be absolutely necessary for the balancing of national, state, business, and local needs, which have been our obstacles in the past.
Looking ahead, what immediate actions would you urge policymakers and industry leaders to take to advance the recommendations in the Path Forward report? And what outcomes do you hope to see in the next few years?
Well, I think the eventual key player is going to be the United States Congress. Once there is a potential host state proposal for hosting a disposal facility, right now we don't have any potential state agreements to evaluate yet. And without potential state inputs, it is virtually impossible to conclude anything at the congressional level. So the first and most important step is to hear what host states need to move forward toward a realistic, operable geologic disposal site. Now, the good news is DOE has recently come out with a request for information for a nuclear life cycle innovation campus. This is basically requesting states to site multiple integrated fuel cycle facilities, including geologic disposal sites for radioactive waste. There seems to be real interest in the states and in the nation for these clean power-related facilities and infrastructure to support them. These are the facilities that hosts would find desirable for their communities. These are all high-tech facilities with good-paying jobs. So DOE is asking states what they may have interest in hosting and what would they propose for a partnership. And there are many high-tech companies, such as the Alphabets and Amazons and Metas and others, who have resources and major needs for clean, reliable electricity. So there's an opportunity here for all, including solving our nuclear spent fuel problem. Although I do not have details of what a host state would entertain or as conditions for a waste disposal function, I would expect them to require a national partner that can be trusted to be able to implement their agreed upon conditions moving forward for years ahead in the future. So let us hopefully assume that such a fair agreement can be negotiated, that is to the satisfaction of the host state and to the Department of Energy. To implement it, there is almost certainly going to need to be changes in existing law, such as the Nuclear Waste Policy Act of 1982, and possibly other statutes as well to meet all the parties' needs. So Congress will eventually have to consummate any agreement and make any necessary statute changes that are needed. And this is where we envision the shift from DOE to the more reliable and effective NuCorp-type arrangement would likely take place. There will be a multitude of lesser but important issues that will have to be addressed, such as the priority for shutdown reactors where the sites have been cleaned up, but the fuel elements remain stranded there. Other questions have to be addressed, such as where will the fuel be moved to? Will the fuel be removed? When will the fuel be removed? How will it be transported? What will happen to it when it arrives there? Will there be interim storage? Will there be recycling technologies or not? These we don't know the answers to yet, but we will in the future once there is more of a dialogue by the parties and what is agreed to. In summary, next steps for the USA is the dialogue between DOE and possible host states. And if agreement can be reached, then the Congress can weigh in with its views in the statutory consummation process. So it is hopeful over the next year or so, some potential host states will come forward with proposals that include geologic disposal of the nuclear waste, and we can have some serious discussions between the state, the private industry that needs the reliable power, and what the federal involvement would need to be, and how this would be structured for resilience, sustainability, and productivity for the decades into the future. It is my view that the main value of our report will be to assist all parties, especially the host states and the Congress, with a more successful managerial organizational construct that can solve our nuclear waste challenge for our children and our great-grandchildren for decades into the future.
All right. Thank you, Lake. And is there anything else you would like to share today?
I would like to thank all our colleagues that work with us on this task. It wasn't my report, nor was it Allison's report. We may have started it, but it was a team effort, including Fred Dilger of Nevada. So I thank all our colleagues and fellow authors for getting this out. And I hope the DOE and potential host states and communities will use it as well as they work together to reach a mutually beneficial national collaborative solution for our nuclear waste challenge and to support our future nuclear energy needs responsibly and not just leave this problem unsolved for our children in the future.
All right. Thank you for your time and your insights today, Lake. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
For more information, see the included show notes and the Nevada Agency for Nuclear Projects website at www.state.nv.us/nukewaste.